إله إلا الله والله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الحمد لله. My fellow respected Muslim brothers, sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our opportunity once again to meet for one purpose. When Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went to Madinatul Munawwara, the most peaceful and blessed city, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each one of us an opportunity to go there and appreciate not only that city, but the beauty of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while being in that city. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, they were celebrating their own given holidays. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, remember the key word, he asked them, he did not assume, he did not make an unnecessary inference, he did not come up with just some analogy, because they are doing this and I'm the Prophet of Allah, I will assume what they are doing and judge them in accordance to that. He didn't do that. He verified. He clarified and he asked them, what are you celebrating? What are you part of? And we know full well, if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished to ask Jibreel, what are they doing? Allah could have had the message sent to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assumptions are a very bad thing. Coming up with our own conclusions is a very bad thing. So we asked them, what are you doing? And they said, we are celebrating these days like they used to in the days of Jahiliyyah, Ya Rasulullah. And he says, we are different. Yes, we wear clothing, they wear clothing, but we do it differently. We may wear a scarf, they may wear a scarf. Our women folk and even men folk, if they choose to do it, we do it differently. They eat food, we eat food, but we have a diet, we gotta do it differently. They educate, we educate. Education is a must. The first word to be revealed was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created you from a single clot of blood. So they educate, we educate, but our responsibility is to be different. They socialize, we socialize, but our Eid begins with what? It begins with Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Setting the template that this is not an ordinary day. Yes, it's a day of happiness, a day of wonder, a day of marvel. At the same time, it's a day of ibadah. That is why it comes in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that your fast is suspended. What is suspension? It's on hold until the one that has money that needs to give the sadaqah al-fitr must give it. So if you have above the amount of $330 of worth, it is obligatory upon you to give the sadaqah al-fitr. We don't give it to the masjid. We don't just give it to an organization. We give it to the poor. We give it to the masjid that will give it to the poor. We give it to a charitable foundation that will give it to the poor. So our day is not just a day of just worship. It's a day of also having a good time. But it starts with not forgetting the poor and not forgetting our Allah. That's why our scholars say, before you hug and you say Eid Mubarak, what do you say? Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the response is, wa idha huyitum bi tahiyyatin fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. Key word is, when someone greets you, you don't just greet them back with wa alaykum assalam, but rather you add on to that to make yourself equal to the fact that they beat you in making salam. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is through the salam we attain our peace, and through the salam we attain our unity. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Madinatul Munawwara, this is when it began, where Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it known that we will celebrate, and our celebration will be a little bit different in as far as how we carry it out. As Allah says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmantu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very, very clear that on this day that I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen Islam as your religion. So what is the ayah saying? I want you to focus on these words. Allah in the Quran is saying, this day I have perfected the religion for you. What does that mean? It means there is nothing you and I need to add. And you know what is most insulting? Is when a man or a woman says, we back, let's have to say, we back in our country, we were Muslims before Muslims. We already knew all this. Yes, really? How do you file your taxes? What games you playing with the government? How do you treat your wife and your children? How do you take part in social relationships? What's your economics like? What's your social politics like? What's your politics like? Amazing. And what we say, we were Muslims before Islam came, mashallah, in our place. Who are we fooling with? Are we challenging the Quran that Allah made a mistake? That the Prophet of Allah made a mistake? We have to authentically believe. If Islam had not come to our way, we would have been corrupted, we would have been polluted, we would have been messed up. This is number one belief. Once, you know, people that go to all these various programs out there, what's the number one thing? You've got to acknowledge, I got a problem. When you acknowledge you got a problem, you can go to a solution. But if you don't acknowledge you got a problem, that's a beginning of not a future problem, but a disaster. So Allah says the following in the Quran, today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you. Very powerful phrase. You know, you do someone something and they say, thank you. Why do we say thank you? Because you were kind to me. I was kind to you. So we say, ahsanul jaza, or we say, jazakum Allah. May Allah give you a compensation for this. We do it for humans. Did you ever get up in the morning of Ramadan or the evening of Ramadan and say, oh Allah, thank you for making me a believer. Thank you for making me a mu'min. Thank you for keeping me on the path of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. You say thank you to humans that have flesh and blood, that once they are done with you,
They are saying, that fellow, they wasted my time. That fellow, they cannot stop asking me for money. That woman there, does she know how to cook? She keeps on asking me for recipes. Imagine. The one that kicks us, we run behind them. The one that gives us, we run away from that. It's something for us, inshallah, to reflect upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have completed, not just perfected the religion, but completed my favor for you. And I have chosen Islam as your religion, as your model, as your way of functioning. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a blessing. This is a bounty. And this is something we have to undoubtedly reflect upon. And inshallah, it is through reflecting upon these favors that Allah has given us through our religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us much more. As it says in the Quran, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That if you are grateful and you are kind as to the favor I have given you, this favor of Iman, this favor of Islam, this wonder and marvel of Quran and Hadith and Sunnah, Allah says, I will give you. What does He mean, I will give you? Give you another Quran? Give you more Hadith? No. It means I will give you true understanding of Quran. Yahya alayhi salam, you know, nowadays you talk to people, you know, mashallah, I got a white beard. Not me, but you get what I'm saying. Oh, mashallah, you know, I have white hair. Well, nowadays too few people have it because they died, so that doesn't apply to any of you over here, mashallah. But you get what I'm saying. I have this and I have that. And you know, mashallah, I have this amount of property, mashallah, in my neighborhood. And because of all these things, for some reason, it gives me the ability that I'm more superior than others. And Yahya alayhi salam, roughly at the age of 3 to 5, what did he say? You want to talk wisdom? Let me give you wisdom. Yahya alayhi salam, 3 to 5 years old. What his friends are saying? Let's go and play video games. Well, maybe not video games back then, but you get it. Let's go and play. And he says, Allah did not create me for play. Allah created me for worship. And this is the point we have to lead here today, is that Allah created us not just to eat and drink. Animals also eat and drink, much more than you and I, mashallah. And they play. Anybody had goats? They even play more than me and you. It's not about eating and playing and having a good time. Yes, we should do that. But at the same time, we have to ask one critical question. When I look in the mirror, what does my Allah demand of me? When I go into the bathroom, how does Allah expect me to go into the bathroom? When I come out of the bathroom, you know, people laugh and they say, you're talking about the bathroom. People used to laugh at Sahaba. What does your Prophet teach you? What is he conveying to you? And the Sahaba would say, he even teaches us how to go to the bathroom. They were not embarrassed. Because Islam is a way of life. Now what I'm getting at here in the next few minutes is the following. We went through a lot in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Now we cannot undo it. We cannot undo it by going back to our old lifestyle. That is why it says the fast of the Shawwal. Allah wants us to keep the month of Ramadan active throughout the whole year. That is why a person that fasts in the month of Ramadan and adds on Sittam min Shawwal, the fast of Shawwal, it is as if that individual is fasting for the entire year. Why does Allah give you reward for the entire year? Because Allah wants you and I to keep in focus, where He says, in essence, I want you to gain the maximum reward, but I don't want you to go through the maximum stress of fasting the entire year. But I want you to be aware of one thing Allah is saying. That the idea of fasting was, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you may acquire consciousness, you may acquire goodness, you may acquire morality, you may acquire love and affection, you may attain maximum mercy. So my brothers and sisters, now that Eid is here, reflect upon the good things you have done. and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because my brothers and sisters, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about knowledge, it's not about old, it's not about young, it's not about smart, it's not about money. What is it about? Oh Allah, out of your mercy and love. This is a very important thing. Out of your mercy and love, oh Allah, help me in continuing the good deeds that I did in Ramadan. Because my brothers and sisters, if the mercy of Allah is not with you and I, you can be the most intelligent man or woman. You can be the everything of everything regarding deen or whatnot. But you will be corrupted, and those around you, you'll see daily, they will be messed up as well. This can even apply to me and my family. No one is excluded from this. So one thing you have to ask now, oh Allahumma arhamna, Allahumma arhamna, say ameen my brothers, Allahumma arhamna, Allahumma arhamna, Allahumma arhamna, that is what we are begging for. And you know what we are, and why this is very important? We know what Muslims are going through, and I will not spend too much time, but we know what's happening in Syria. We know what's happening in Iraq. We know what's happening in parts of Afghanistan. We know what's happening in parts of India and Pakistan. We know what's happening in parts of Africa. I come from South Africa. Let me tell you, they say South Africa per capita is worse than a war zone. It's worse than a war zone, meaning people get killed left and right just for a cell phone. Why? How? What makes it happen? What does the Quran says? It happens because of our a'mal, messed up a'mal, abusing our brothers, abusing our sisters, abusing our children, abusing our grandchildren, abusing our parents. Forget the neighbors and friends. That's too far. Just within the nuclear structure, we are messing one another up. And Allah is teaching us, because of you messing one another up and you creating this tyrant behavior in your own families, Allah is creating a tyrant out there to put us straight. All these disasters are not because it's the Jews, it's the Christians, it's the Hindus. Yes, they may be part of it. I'm not denying. But you know, as I always say, you think the Jews are killing us? You think the Christians are killing us? You think the Hindus are killing us? Put a Muslim there and see what he does to you thereafter. Oh, you'll pick up your hand and say, oh Allah, bring the Jew back. Oh Allah, bring the Christian back. Oh Allah, bring the Hindu back. This is how we have turned. This is the type of people we are. Look around. Not to get political. The point is not Muslim bashing or interfaith bashing. It's about, we have to ask ourselves, what have we done wrong? Where our hearts have become so hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. What made our hearts this hard that we destroy one another, abuse one another, torment one another? Talking of torment, let me give you a small joke. Okay? This fellow goes to the court. MashaAllah, goes to the courtroom. What's the problem, sister? My husband beat me. Now, I'm not justifying violence. This is something that is wrong. Very, very wrong. And I'll show you how we torment one another. So the judge says, what's the problem, young man? Why did you do that? Well, let me tell you one thing, Your Honor. Let me explain to you. She came in front of me and she opened up her purse. She opened up her purse. Okay, so what's the problem with that? Then she took out a purse from that purse. Okay, then Your Honor, she opened that zip and she took out another purse. Okay, then Your Honor, she opened that next purse and took out another purse. Okay, then Your Honor, she opened the next purse and took out another purse. Okay, then Your Honor, she opened the purse and took out another purse. Carry on, young man. And then she opened, and the judge said, what's the problem with you? Why are you giving me a hard time? He looks at the judge and says, oh judge, you're getting angry at me for what I'm doing. She does this to me mentally every day at home. What my point is, it's not about against women, by the way, it's a joke, so it's okay. But the point I'm trying to make is, men are doing this more than women. And we are good at it. You know how we're good at it? Go today and ask your children one thing. Did mummy ever say, daddy is coming home? Ask your children. Did mummy ever say, daddy is coming home? You know what they're saying? Tyrant is coming home, run in your bedroom. Is that the type of father you want to be? Is that the type of mother you want to be? Kullukum ra'in, look at the hadith. And by the way, I'm quoting from, before someone thinks I'm made up with all these things, I'm quoting from a speech of Imam al-Haram, beside the joke part, of course. All this is gathered from him. And I purposely took the speech from Imam al-Haram because whenever I speak, people think, Imam may be saying something to me. No, if you got a problem with Imam al-Haram, then I question our Iman, mashallah. But what is he saying in the hadith? He says, every one of us are a shepherd, he says. And we are leaders. And I will end up very shortly thereafter. And he says, a man has to make sure that he will support his family economically, shelter-wise, and give them food. And thereafter he continues by saying, and that is not enough. Under the hadith, he's saying, and that is not enough.
So can you bring that the other one closer? Because it's kind of
here. Which one closer? This, the wireless. Trust me, I cannot shout anymore. I won't have a voice left, young man. You don't want me to say Eid Mubarak to the people later on?
There you go. Subhanallah. Try now.
Try now, mashallah.
You might have to speak a little louder.
I'll be pretty much done, inshallah. So a man's duty is not only limited to the things I've talked about. Thereafter, Imam al-Haram says, under talking of this hadith, he says it is also the duty of the mother and father to make sure that the children are psychologically safe in the house. It is the duty of the mother and father to also make sure that the child will get a good education. It is the duty of the mother and father to make sure that they will get a good Islamic education as well as a good education regarding the world. This is what he's saying. That's what it means to be a leader of the home. Now, how many of us are doing this? How many of us are fulfilling this given criteria? So, my brothers and sisters in Islam, these are some important things that we have to take with us in order for us to become successful. On Friday, I mentioned a dua, and I would like to share this beautiful dua with you before we start, inshallah, with our salah. As you know, the salah comes first. And before we continue, salah comes and then after the khutbah, and some of you came a little bit late, and I hope you will stay for the Arabic khutbah. I will keep it as short as possible. Before I talk about the dua, he mentions a beautiful ayah. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. In the month of Ramadan, we have taken to greater salah. And he uses this ayah to tell to you and I, hold firm to salah. When you got a problem and you got a debt you can't pay, don't turn first to humans. Turn to Allah, turn to salah. You got an exam that's coming by. Yes, you may need a study group, but turn to Allah in 2 rakat salah. You are feeling grieved, you are feeling sad, 2 rakat salah, turn to Allah. You are not feeling good about a given situation. You got an issue regarding your marriage or whatever it may be. 2 rakat salah, turn to Allah. La nas'aluka rizqa, turn to Allah regarding your daily salah as well. Allah says, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm just asking you to turn towards Allah and be patient. Be very patient. And patience is not very easy to have. You know, there was a fellow, you know, in South Africa, there are Hindus. So Hindus have the last name called Singh. What? Singh. S-I-N-G-H. So anyway, this fellow is sitting in a park and is sitting on a bench, mashallah, sitting on a bench and is relaxing. You know, he took extra space, so he's relaxing. So as people are walking by, they're looking down and saying, so you're relaxing? He goes, no, my name is Singh. Okay, another guy comes by. Are you relaxing? No, my name is not relaxed. My name is Singh. Okay, Mr. Singh. Third guy comes by. Are you relaxing? No, my name is Singh. Eventually, he got impatient. He says, what's this? Everybody asking me, you relaxing? You relaxing? That's not my name. Relax.
my last name is Singh, my first name is not relaxed. So he got up and he walked away. As he's walking away, there's another man sleeping on a bench. And he goes, are you relaxing? The guy says, yes, I'm relaxing. He says, they're waiting for you at the other bench. Go there. So my brothers, let's not be impatient. Let's not be impatient. When people try to sort of mess with us, we got to be focused, number one. And number two, we have to have a good understanding of deen and our religion. Because if you don't have good understanding of your deen, you'll be running from one bench to the next. One person to the next. One sheikh to the next. One YouTube video to the next. One Google chat to the next. And it'll continue. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we before we begin our salah. That, oh Allah, give us good understanding of deen. Let us, give us a good understanding of unity. Give us a good understanding of the Quran. Let us follow the Quran. Let us recite continually the Quran. Let us continually help the poor. Let us continually help the needy. And let us be good to one another, especially our family. So with that in mind, inshallah, we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue showering His mercy upon the poor, upon those that are going through various type of challenges, various type of suffering. And finally, and I will end off one more time with this, my brothers and sisters, be good to your husbands and continue to be good to your wives. That was what Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned throughout. And be good to your neighbors and be good to everyone that you come in contact with. And by being the best, inshallah, we will also produce the best. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Inshallah, now we will do the salah. And just to give basic rundown, there are different ways of doing the salah. It's totally fine. And we will do it according to also a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're not going into a fiqh discussion, so that's entirely a separate issue. But I will give you, inshallah, now the way in which it is done. The Imam will make intention that the salah has six extra takbirat, number one. Number two, of course, you will make the intention that you are performing it behind the Imam, of course, with six extra takbirat as well. He will make Allahu Akbar and he will tie his hand. Thereafter, he'll say Allahu Akbar and let it hang. Allahu Akbar and let it hang. And Allahu Akbar and thereafter tie it.
Okay, I thought it was about a song. Okay, inshallah. Brother Yasir, can you just come and just do a translation also in Arabic while we're getting ourselves sorted out?
So it's very simple. Allahu Akbar, tie, then hang, hang, tie. First rakat is done, Imam will do what he got to do. Second rakat, Imam will read the surah, and then after he's done with the first rakat, he'll say Allahu Akbar three times, Allahu Akbar, hang, 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 and the fourth time he'll go in ruku. While Brother Yasir is making that announcement, I need Brother Ali to sort of put the mic upwards, that way they can hear us during the khutbah itself.